A huge battlefield over the last few years has been over antidepressants. Some critics have argued that trials of antidepressants have been tainted by pharmaceutical company sponsorship. And these critics say, when you look at the data, there are no differences with placebo, meaning they barely work. There's little doubt that antidepressants are sometimes used inappropriately, say for mild depression, which could be better treated with psychological therapy, or for something like bereavement. But one situation which most psychiatrists would say antidepressants are necessary, if not life-saving, is major depression. Someone with deep depression that's not necessarily a reaction to circumstances. Some people would call it biological depression. An international consortium of researchers has analysed the available data to rank antidepressants by effectiveness, acceptability and dropout rates in people coming to their doctor acutely unwell with depression. The lead author was Andrea Cipriani, who's in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Oxford and is on the line now. Welcome to the Health Report.
Good evening to you. Hi.
Now, this study, you tried to bring together all the data you could find from randomised trials. Is that right?
Yes, we did our best to gather all available information about treatment of major depression with antidepressants. And when I say most available evidence, I mean both published and unpublished data.
And this is quite important because there's been huge controversy over the years about pharmaceutical companies releasing the raw data that sit behind clinical trials, and so that you can actually dig down to reanalyze the data, not accept necessarily their findings at face value.
Yes, antidepressants are a great example of the so-called publication bias. So we know that data published in the literature tend to favor the drug over placebo. And this is why we contacted not only the authors and the pharmaceutical company to have unpublished data, but also the regulatory agencies in the US, Europe, and also Australia. But the other thing is the so-called sponsorship bias, and this is why we use a very innovative statistical technique called network meta-analysis to compare all the drugs one versus the other.
So you're trying to remove the fact that, which is well proven, which is that the a trial that's sponsored by a manufacturer tends to come up with a published trial tends to come up with positive results.
Exactly, including 52% of our data were unpublished, so we think that this is the most accurate and conservative estimate about efficacy of antidepressants, and also using network meta-analysis, this is the best way to tackle the issue about the sponsorship bias.
Well, we probably don't have time to give our listeners a lesson in network meta-analysis. We'll take it for granted, Andrea. But let's move to the results, because you did it on a placebo comparison and also a head-to-head comparison, meaning comparing the antidepressants with a dummy tablet and comparing antidepressants against competitive antidepressants. First of all, what did you find against placebo?
We found that all commonly used antidepressants are more effective than placebo to treat moderate to severe major depression in adults.
But they're not all equal. I mean, you found that a very old-fashioned antidepressant called amitriptyline was probably the most effective of all.
Yes, when compared to placebo, amitriptyline has the largest effect over placebo, and reboxetine is the drug with the least effect. However, all the antidepressants are statistically significantly better than placebo.
And when you compared them head-to-head with each other, what antidepressants came out on top?
We found that some antidepressants are better than others in terms of efficacy, citalopram, mirtazapine. Other antidepressants are more acceptable than others, or the other way around. Some antidepressants are least acceptable, like reboxetine, trazodone, and these kind of drugs.
And you found, I mean, a very popular antidepressant, at least in the past, has been Prozac, fluoxetine, and that was amongst the least efficacious of the antidepressants.
Yes, we found that fluoxetine is probably not the best drug to start with if you want to prescribe an antidepressant to a patient in terms of efficacy, but it's very well tolerated and acceptable.
So if you're, I mean, what do you take away from this in terms of the balance here? So you find some which are more effective. I mean, and so amitriptyline is more effective than others. It also performs well on head-to-head, yet it's one that has side effects, more side effects than other, and people drop out. I mean, what do you, and it's a long list of antidepressants. How do you make the choice? Well, let's start with acceptability. I mean, let's unpack that for a moment.
Yes, there are two things, two takeaway messages. One is that, yes, we have now an evidence-based hierarchy to guide the shared decision process between patients and clinicians that when they want to start a treatment for depression, a pharmacological treatment for depression. The other thing which is important is because all antidepressants on average are better than placebo, any antidepressants can play a role in the treatment. Unfortunately, we have averages. We use aggregate data from studies. So we, at the moment, we cannot individualize treatment to the individual, but we can guide it using this data.
And acceptability, just what do you mean by acceptability?
We wanted to look at very pragmatic and clinically meaningful outcomes in this study. So response was a reduction of 50% in terms of severity of symptoms, and acceptability is the dropout rate. So basically, whether how many patients after 8 weeks of treatment are still taking the medication, which means the treatment is somehow effective and acceptable.
Now, when a GP gives somebody antidepressants, they say, oh, look, it's going to take a couple of weeks to start having its effect. You know, you're not going to see this immediately, and you might get a bit of agitation first. You know, they talk you through it. But most of these trials only lasted, or the results are reported, for 8 weeks. That doesn't give you much time after it's kicked in to find a result. I mean, do we know what it's like a year later or 2 years later? I mean, surely that's an important piece of data.
Exactly. This is a very important question because with our piece of research, because a systematic review of the literature, we could answer only a very specific question. And the question was whether antidepressants are effective acutely to treat acutely symptoms of major depression. The answer whether the effect of antidepressants lasts and whether they prevent relapses is the new study we are carrying out. So the same methodology, a natural meta-analysis looking at long-term treatment of depression, but it is a separate study.
And briefly, you can't make a comment presumably on psychological therapy, whether psychotherapy adds to this or not, because that's not part of these studies.
Well, but we have a lot of data about psychological treatments, and we know that they are effective for moderate to severe major depression. So definitely psychological interventions, talking therapies, are a tool that should be used to treat patients in this situation. And also the combination of psychological treatment and antidepressants is effective. The other thing we are working on is trying to merge all psychological and pharmacological treatments in one big natural meta-analysis, but there are methodological challenges that we still have to address properly.
Well, it's a work in progress. We'll bring you on for an hour next time, Andrea, when you've got those sort of data. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
Andrea Cipriani is Associate Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Oxford. We'll have a link to the paper on our website.